have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Shout out D on the track, Paint Music Media. Shout out DJ Lee Productions, and I'm Al Cam. But if you a game changer, got my head. My grind don't hide. Win, lose, or draw. I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer. 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 I'm full court press. I pledge allegiance to the best. Ain't nothing left to give it that reverence that the Father gets. So every day I work the sweat. Can't get a flesh another rest. They say go hard or go home. I say just do whatever's best. It's evident I'm blessed and I work like it. Fight like a Viking, fight like a lichen. The difference is I like it, so I shine like I'm lightning. So I'm going head to head with certain tests. Who you liking? Yeah. So it's time for coach to put me in. I'm strapping on my shoulder pads, lacing up my cleats, and then I'm gone with the wind. Like I'm gone in 60 seconds. You can't hold me, you can't check me. Check the memo, check the message running through. Like I'm baddest, I'm trucking whoever's standing in my way. Ain't no way you gon' stop me. You better off to let me in. Cause I go hard, even though they say no way that I could win. Like I'm Brett Favre, I'ma ride this game. My head to the sky, my grind don't hide. Win, lose, or draw, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer. Yeah, I told you once before, my God came to change the game. Different outlook onto life, a different way to play the lane. Now my rushing yards just got rocketing, now I'm so insane. For the kingdom building, now my shot, it cannot be contained. So I'm gon' pray for change, for myself and then what I can. I don't need no euros or no pesos or no money grams. Shout out to Wado, cause I know that he gon' play this fam. The FCA Sports Camp, game changer, summer jam. I don't need a 100 grand to tell him that they need the lamb. It's heaven, it's just who I am. Al Cam, this where I stand. Man, I'm gon' play the fist. Hit so deep to turn it quick. It's like I'm out from the trap to turn around, get back in it. Never that, that's not insane. It's heaven, did your butt they chain. Like I'm Jack Johnson, the same year he changed his name. So I sacrifice my life for the cause. Let me see you represent. My grind don't hide. Win, lose, or draw. I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer. 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 Now put me in, coach. I'ma go hard.
I'ma go hard. I'ma go hard. I'ma go hard.
Cause I'm a game changer. 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 I'm a game changer.
Oh, what a great song, what a great song. Welcome back, everybody. This is Cedric, Minister Cedric, coming at you. Today is October the 13th, 2003. I want to give a quick shout-out to everybody who keeps making everything possible. Sister Kimmy, you know you're the best. Brother Jason, thank you for always showing up with me. And I give all praises and honor to God. He has been blessing, and he has been blessing my life so much these past 3 years. And You know, I've been keeping journals, or shall I say trying to keep journals of all these experiences and all the feelings that I feel inside, you know, because when the moment's over, sometimes you can never get that feeling back, no matter if it's a good feeling or a bad feeling. It just, when the moment's gone, the moment's gone. And if it's a good feeling, you never want it to go away, but it just always seems to be fleeting. And if it's a bad feeling, you never really want to think about it anyway, so you want to throw that away. But I've been keeping some diligent notes, and God has just been blessing, and I've been just enjoying the fruits of my labor. I like to say perseverance. But God has been good to me, and I pray that he has been good to everyone within the sound of my voice, whether it be today or next week. Whenever you listen to this broadcast, Sister Kimmy has truly, she's the star of the show. And Sister Kimmy, I just want to give you some roses right now. Thank you. You are a blessing to me, touches my heart every day. So I just wanted to give that to you. With that being said, I wanted to kind of roll into, you know, just a couple little things. I've been struggling here lately. You notice I put that out there in the beginning. I said I've been trying to journal. Life has been wonderful, but it has been a work. I have had to put in some work, and I just when I thought my plans were set and I was ready to go, you know, God does what God does. And one of the things I believe he did for me was allow me to experience life at times on my own terms. And it's been great. And he allowed me to make all these plans. He allowed me to experience some of the really, really good things in life. You know, I experienced some bad things too, but there was a time when I was just super optimistic and I just wanted everything God had for me. And it was like he was giving it all to me, but I never really took the time to say thank you. I realized at a point in my life, I said thank you when the great things happened. I never said thank you when the not so great things happened. And when I say great things, it had to be big to me for me to say thank you. Like, I didn't wake up in the morning and say, well, Lord, thank you for waking me up. If I woke up in the morning and, I don't know, maybe one of my business ventures made me $10,000, $20,000, I was, thank you, Jesus, thank you. You know what I'm saying? I was celebrating things like that. And, today I want to celebrate God, just for being God, allowing us to go through. You see, because most of us don't realize that when we go through, we mature that way. That's kind of how maturity comes. Because, see, we can't see ourselves elevating our lives if people just tell us everything. We're like, oh, yeah, mama thinks she know everything. Daddy thinks he know everything. But what they're really trying to do is they're trying to enrich us to keep us from making the mistakes they had already made prior in their lives. Because, you know what? And the reason they know we about to make those mistakes is because they lived through them already. So, the topic I want to talk to you tonight is a simple one, and it's called When Life Deviates from the Plan. You know, when things don't go as planned. So, but before we get too deep into it, I want to bring on my brother Jason, and I want him to say hello to everybody. Jason, you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How you doing today?
I'm all right, man. You're coming kind of low. I'm going to turn my volume up. All right. I'm doing good. How was your day going?
My day's been good. Good. Good day at work. You know, finished it off. You know, nice little opportunity to talk about life. So, yeah. Good day, good day.
So, if it was going bad, would you tell me it was going bad? Or would you still say, oh, it's going good?
I'll tell you when it's bad, you know. But I think you just said something in the beginning, right? I think you said something, though. I think you said that it's like, sometimes you just got to give God, you know, glory for just being. Sometimes in those bad times, it's like, thank you for the bad times.
That's right. Yeah, and I tell you, again, I never understood that concept, you know, like I was that guy I mean, from the time I was planning my adult life when I was a little kid, you know, and then by the time I got to high school, I was really planning my life. And then when I met the girl of my life, I was really planning my life and how I was going to hook up with her life and how we was going to get married and live our lives together as one. Right. I mean, I was really planning. I thought I had it together, and I planned my work. You know, I planned the job I was going to have, the type of business I was going to be into, my school plans. I mean, I had it all there. Then it happened. It all happened. I mean, it was going smooth, Jason. Life was going smooth. I was a hero of sorts. I was a young soldier. I was advancing. I mean, life was great. I had a beautiful helpmate, and I mean, my life was going good. Brand new car, you know, really, really nice place to stay. Bank account was nice and juicy. I mean, I was doing it. It was going according to the plan. And then you know what happened next, right? Yeah, the bottom fell out. I once heard somebody say that it don't take long for the bottom to fall out. I tell you what, the bottom fell out. And it was perhaps the most disappointing and depressing point in my life. I was just discouraged. I mean, spiritually, I was discouraged. I was suffering from depression. It was that tough. So tonight's topic, I really wanted to talk to you about tonight. It was, just when life deviates from your plans. You know, when it deviates from the plan. Because I tell you, when the bottom fell out for me, Jason, I was asking questions like, "Hey, God, well, why is this going on in my life? I've been doing what you told me, but was I really doing what God said?" And even if I was doing exactly what God said, was it his plan? See, that was the problem I had. I didn't understand that my plan needed to line up with his plan in order for me to prosper the way he wanted me to. Yeah. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you?
No, it does. It does. And I think the key part of that is prosper the way he wants you to, because we all have our definition of prosperity, and sometimes as we are being blessed in the midst of a situation, because it doesn't match our definition of prosperity, we miss it, and we continue to pray to God for something he's already given us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted God to go and give me back what I thought I knew I wanted. I was like, God, can you give it back? Because I'm kind of, my stomach hurts. I got hunger pains. And in the way I had this all figured out, I was doing just fine, dear God. Can you give it back? You know, that was me being foolish. But I was young. So it kind of brings me to, I'm going to read a little scripture for you. You don't mind me reading a quick scripture to you, Jason?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Hey, actually, it's kind of lengthy. I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing. I think it's a lot. Well, I'll read it. You can interrupt me. We can talk a little bit if you want to. I was reading in the book of Matthew. I was in Matthew chapter 6. And I actually read verses 19 through 34. But as I said before, that's a lot of reading. So I'm just going to read to a point and stop. Because this, I believe this is what's important for tonight. Because, you know, when your life deviates from the plan, you've already got your plan. The scripture says this, and I think I'm reading the NIV version. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness. Man, that's deep right there. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You see, in verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. I may come back and read the rest, but I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there because I think that kind of makes my point for tonight. You know, we're trying to store up these treasures on earth, these earthly treasures. And the question I had asked myself when I told you the bottom fell out, the question I had asked myself was, dear God, why is this happening to me? You see, there is something that happens when life doesn't turn out like we want it to. And I want to say this to all the people out there who still believe you can't ask God why. I don't believe in that. I believe that because when the bottom falls out, that's the first question that came to my mind was, God, why? Why is the bottom falling out? And as you read, and I didn't read the whole passage, I stopped at 20 because in verse 27, Jesus asked the question, right? He asked the question, and it says, the question was this. He says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You see, that stuck with me. I was young when the bottom first fell out in my life. I was a younger man. I went from being young and people seeing me as successful, people seeing me as well-to-do, people seeing me as a guy who handled his business, to feeling me personally, internalizing it, feeling like a complete and utter failure. And I found myself worrying. And I'm going to tell you some of the crazy things I worried about. I walked into, like my wife at the time, she used to love Whataburger, right? So I found myself going into Whataburger, and I'm digging in my pockets. Don't nobody know what I got in my pockets, but I'm worrying that people know that this credit card I'm about to use is almost maxed out. How do they know? Unless I tell them. But I found myself worrying about my neighbors seeing all this mail piling up in my mailbox because I didn't like to check the mail no more because I ain't want no more bills. It was all bad news. I started worrying about them being able to look at me and say, he ain't checking his mail. He must be broke. He must got a lot of bills. They would not know unless I told them. So I found myself worrying. So when I got to kind of reading all this, I found that Jesus, in Matthew, he when he said, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life, I felt like Jesus was just asking a question, and he was actually calling attention to these falsehoods, right, that we start to believe that we put into our lives, right? One of them was this. And this is where I really went wrong. The first one was right here it is. I made the mistake of thinking that I was in control. A lot of us do that. A lot of us make the mistake of thinking we are in control. Another mistake we make, here it is, is thinking that we can do this on our own. We like to think that we're self-sufficient. You don't believe me? Let something go wrong. Oh, I can fix this. I can do this. And we forget to pray and let go and let God. You see, we got to be honest with ourselves, right? We have to acknowledge that there are so many things in this world that are beyond our control. I can give you the easiest one for you to understand. Waking up in the morning, your alarm clock don't wake you up. Your biological clock don't wake you up. It's God's will that allows you to wake up. You better ask somebody. And so we get stuck in that. And then it's hard for us to wrap our minds around the fact that we cannot control the circumstances, right? For the life, the circumstances in our lives that we aren't prepared for. We get upset and we start to worry about that. And then when we finally get a grasp on this thing we call reality, here we go. Then we try to pretend like we're ready for this thing. And again, the most important question that comes to our minds was just like me. My first question was, why? But then more importantly, I say, God, who is this? Why is this happening? Who's in control here? And I think only when you get to the who's in control can you start to understand this. And Jason, before I keep going on, because, you know, I'm long-winded, I want to ask you a question, right?
As
it pertains to the scriptures. Why is it that we worry about the challenges and the hardships that life has to offer? And we ain't, because we have no control, but why do we worry about the things that we have no control over?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, I think we have an illusion of control, right? I think we feel like, hey, I go to work, I make the money, I spend the money, and I feel that gives us some sense of like, oh, I have a certain level of control over my life, and that control gives us some security. So when those things happen, and especially if you weren't expecting it. And like you said, when that bottom falls out, it rocks your security because you're like, you know, especially if it's one of those things, hey, I did everything right. How am I not working anymore? Hey, I've been doing this for this long. What, you know, why am I in this situation and circumstance? So, you know, I think as human beings, we struggle with that unknown, right? I mean, we have to try to explain everything, right? I mean, look at the field of science and how they just go, like, just religiously try to explain every little thing. And I think that's innate in a man. It's hard for us to not know and not understand. So, you know, we seek that knowledge, we seek that understanding. And once we get it, we want to try to manipulate it so that now, you know, we feel like we want to affect our outcome. So, yeah. So I think it's part of that. It's just, it's part of our human nature.
Part of our human nature. What? So when you say nature, that to me, that says, oh, this is only natural, right? You know what? You're going to force me to read another part in this. But before I do it, because I think we worry about things and we get all discombobulated. I think sometimes we do that because it's that fear of the unknown. Like we thought we had it. We thought that we could make it happen. We thought that we could just do what we wanted to do. We thought that we were on point. We thought that we were the kings of the castle. You know how we do. We buy first out. I'm the king of my castle, right? No, you're not. No, you're not. You're just the one guy left in charge for right now. You know what I'm saying? He gave you a little bit of charge. So I think it's important that we understand that there are other things that are really important in our lives. Like I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to read a little bit more. I'm going to start at verse 25. And verse 25 says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And verse 27 says, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace, here it is, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows what you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. All right. So anyway, I finished it all. We got to verse 34 that time. I'm going to ask you a quick question. Jason. I like it because I like your answers. Now, when we think about what's most important in our lives, right, what are the top resources? If you had to make a list, what are the top resources that you would list for helping you navigate the challenges and the difficulties of this life we live? What are the top resources? I'm just going to ask you for two or three. What's your number one? Let me ask you that.
I would say, Christ, and just relating to him and trying to figure out, where to go. And I think with that, it's not just looking for direction when things are bad, but looking for direction when things are good, and always being able to say, like, okay, I'm doing this. Where are you at? Are you with me? And ensure that. And then I think that would be my top one. After that, wow, it would be like-minded friends, right? People who, are seeking the same thing that I'm seeking and looking for the same thing that I'm looking for, that are holding me accountable for who I'm trying, wow, to be or who God has called me to be. Those are the things I use to try to get through life. I want to go back to that scripture you just read. And when we talk about the lilies and how we don't have to wait for things and God's going to provide, I don't think a lot of Christian struggles if God's going to provide. I think the struggle is, if you think about the lily has no choice in what they get, right?
Uh-huh.
And uh-huh, I think one of the struggles we have is, well, God, you blessed me with this, but why not that, right? Well, hold on, God,
yeah,
you blessed me with this, but they got more than I got, right? So when you're reading that scripture, it resonated with me that I think we struggle, especially in our Western community, that we look at things and we think about, we always look at what we lack, not what we're leveraged, what we can leverage, what we're missing, not what we've been blessed with. Right. And I think that mindset lends to that when we talk about that control. Okay, God, well, you know what? You provided for me to get this great job, but maybe if I work really hard and work extra hours and work on Sunday and do really commit myself, maybe I can do more from this job. Right. And get more from this job. I think, like that's a really hard part for a lot of people to be in, is to just be content with what God has blessed them with.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I remember this young man from a long time ago. I guess back around about 2002, I remember this young man. He had a job, but back then he was probably making $15 an hour. He had an apartment. His car broke down. He couldn't get it fixed, but he only worked maybe a mile from his house. And this young man, he complained, and he just wasn't happy with his situation because he wanted a car. And later on in life, God blessed him with a car, and he was so happy that he drove this car. And he took care of this old car. The car was about 10, 15 years old when he got it, but he took care of it like it was brand new. And as he continued to live on, God blessed him with a more expensive car, a car that people actually looked at and was like, wow, And all the while, when he didn't have a car that looked very good, he was so proud of that car, and he didn't care if nobody complimented it or nothing. He was clean. He kept the wheels all together, kept the car polished, washed. And as soon as God started blessing him with the things that were way past his goal, that were so far away, he never even dreamed that he could ever have it, he started to complain. He started to try. When God started blessing him with the expensive things in life, he became a hoarder. He started trying to hold on to everything. He stopped giving things because, and I'm getting somewhere with this, but he stopped giving the way that he used to give, and he started asking God for more and more, not because he needed it, but because he wanted it. In other words, he became greedy. He started to try to store up treasures here on earth, and he stopped thinking about storing up the treasures in heaven. He wanted people to look at him. What? He wanted to be noticed by people. You know what? He wasn't even being honest with himself, because anytime it came up from friends or anytime anybody brought it up, he said, no, it's not that. It's just, you know, if I can afford it, I can afford it. But secretly, he really couldn't afford it. He knew that if he bought this, instead of driving this $25,000 car, he went and bought a $40,000 car. And he knew that that was at the limit of his budget. But because the $40,000 car was a really nice car and people talked to him, he wanted to go with the $60,000 car just because he could. But the truth of the matter was he couldn't really afford it. But the car dealerships would really give it to him if he wanted it. And I think back, as in the many conversations as I had, why do we do that? What is it about this world we live in that makes us want to do that? Because for me, I believe, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, we're just having a conversation here, because of the way this world is. You know, we always talk about capitalism here in America, right? But am I right or wrong? Most of the time you find people that do this kind of stuff and they want to have all the great stuff. They're doing it for some sort of self-serving sense of security. All right, I'm just going to keep it real simple. I think we do this for a sense of security. And we do it for a sense of security, and then when we either realize we can't afford it, we can't keep it, or it keeps breaking down, or the relationship ain't going the way we want, the personalities keep conflicting, the car maintenance costs a lot, it drinks a lot of gas, I think it causes us anxiety. So all the while, God is saying, you don't need this stuff. It doesn't do you any good to worry, but we do these things for a sense of security, and it causes us just the opposite effect. It causes us to worry. It causes us to be anxious. I mean, and when that happens, we don't know how to get off the hamster wheel, right? And I guess what I've been realizing over the years is we do that stuff, but all the treasure we store up here on earth, am I right or wrong, it's going to end up in decayed, right? It's going to end up rusty. The mothballs don't eat it when we keep it in the closet too long. And then the most important thing about all this stuff we keep trying to accumulate, we can't take it with us.
We can't take it with us. That is so true.
Why do you think that people want to accumulate all this stuff and all it does is causes us worry?
So I think there is, you know, there's several reasons, but I think two of the main reasons is, like you point to, is that sense of security, right? You know, sometimes, you know, the trauma of growing up, not having a lot, you know, and feeling a certain way and experiencing that, you know, forces us to, you know, pushes us to try to accumulate more and have more, you know, because we feel like our security comes from that. Because of the trauma that we have in our upbringing in our early life, and we didn't have it, and what that felt like. I think another thing is that sense that I deserve it, you know, where I have this really high sense of myself and you know, what I should and shouldn't have. And, you know, you feel like, hey, this is something, oh, I deserve this. You know, I worked hard for this. I did this, you know, it's almost like a sense of entitlement that pushes you and drives you to try to, you know, accumulate more and get more, you know. So you know, I think those are two of some major drivers that we have. And you know, the first one, it comes from that, with that trauma and that sense of that security, that's a false sense of like your situation and yourself. And I think the same thing that can be said about I deserve it, right? You know, and that sense, yeah. That high sense of self that says that, you know what, you know, I've worked too hard, you know, I'm this, I'm that, you know, because I'm this, I'm that, this is what I should have. So I think that's what kind of drives us, you know, and I think that's beyond our Western culture. I think that's just across the world, because you see people who grow up in abject poverty, and to your point, for a little bit, they're happy, they're content, you know, but you see this happen all the time, you know, that first generation that's in poverty, that first generation that's out of poverty, they're so happy and content. Then that second generation who's been a little bit further from that impoverished situation, they tend to go to that situation where now, okay, well, why, you know, I should have this, right? I deserve this, you know, and they don't, you know, as they get further and further away from those, that poverty situation and the trauma that comes there, they fit more and more into that empower and entitled, you know, mentality where they're like, oh, this is what I deserve. This is what I should have.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that. It's funny you brought it back from where we come from, because I remember growing up as a kid, most of my relatives and friends, they thought that we had some kind of money, and we were just over broke. Like, we were a couple of days off work. My parents were a couple of days off work from the lights being cut off, or us not having groceries, right? But people didn't know, because, you know, you don't tell people that. But I remember growing up in a household like that. And one of the things that fueled me as a young man was I never wanted that for me. And I didn't have it at first. I had disciplined myself in a certain way. Well, when to a point and I felt entitled, I felt I deserved, I started overextending. See, life lessons, the very things I was talking about other people, they applied to me. I was really talking about myself, and, you know, if you really think about it. I started to overextend myself. I wanted to keep my home happy, and I wanted her to have everything she wanted. I wanted my baby to have everything she needed and everything her mama wanted her to have. And me, I wanted some of what I wanted, but what I wanted was a lot, right? And so I think about when I was a child, when I was a young kid growing up, all the way up through high school, as a matter of fact, I never owned more than about five or six pairs of pants, maybe two or three pairs of shoes, maybe 10 shirts. That was it. My whole life. When I joined the military, went to Germany, that was it. Four or five shirts, three or four pairs of pants, one or two sweatsuits, and I had maybe four pairs of shoes. Right? That was it. All I owned. Now, when you look at my life, in my closet, oh my God, in my house, my closet was a 10 by 10 room. And that was just my clothes, and it still wasn't big enough. And the sad thing is, I probably had over 100 pairs of shoes, you know, dress shoes, casual shoes, tennis shoes. Shoes for working out. You know, I had a shoe for every occasion, right? And I had short pants. I had pants that I only wore with certain shirts, that kind of thing. And here's the sad thing. The sad thing was I wasn't trying to give any of it away. I wasn't going to give none of it away. Now, I'm a Christian. As a matter of fact, at this time, I'm pastoring a church. So I made it a point to wear every single item in my closet. At least once a year. I mean, from the winter clothes to the extreme heat, extreme cold, extreme heat, I wore everything in my closet because I didn't want to feel guilty. I didn't want to feel like I was overindulging. But really, it came from what you said. It's the point I want to make. My insecurity as a youth, my insecurity growing up, and I realized in reading about this study tonight and listening to you, I realized that's the reason I did it. I didn't have it growing up. I never owned a name brand pair of shoes until my brother gave me a pair. Now, he was too cheap to give me a new pair, So when he came home from Germany, he had already joined the Army. I was still in high school. He gave me his old pair of Reeboks. He gave me a pair of red and white Reeboks, and I wore them things like they was brand-new tennis shoes. I mean, I got my shoe polish out, and I cleaned them and all that other stuff. But that was the first pair of name-brand shoes I ever had for just casual wear. And, again, it's kind of crazy. I didn't even wear tennis shoes. I wore Oxfords. I wore those casual dress shoes because I didn't want to look like everybody else in tennis shoes. And so I had trained my head that way. But now, you know, there came a point in my life when I changed and I started trying to – I just had a bunch of clothes. And it was that insecurity thing. I didn't want to worry about what I was going to wear. And I realized today that I'm not going to say I was wrong, but it wasn't the, you know, it just wasn't necessarily the right thing to do. Now, I was grounded enough not to allow it to control me, but I did that. And I would just store all this stuff up, and I just wanted a lot of clothes. And I still have a lot of clothes, but here's the difference. Today is, sure, I wear a lot of them, but I learned how to give them away and not buy so much. I don't overindulge in it anymore. I do have a lot of clothes because I like to change clothes. I like to go out. I like to dress nice. So I have a lot of clothes for that reason. But going back to our point here, and the next question I wanted to ask you is this right here. You talked about storing up treasure. It's a two-headed question here. First off, I want to know if you can help us understand what it looks like for us to store treasure in heaven, right? And then what does Jesus mean, or what did he mean when he said heavenly treasure?
So when I hear those things, you know, it takes me back to one of my favorite scriptures. It's one about the talents, and of course, you know, master the way leaves basic money for three different servants, and the servants do certain things. And when he returns, my all-time favorite part of that scripture is when he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know, you've been faithful with a little bit, so let me give you more. So when I think about those heavenly, storing up heavenly things, it's those well done. It's those actions and behaviors and things that we do that for no other reason but just to serve God, right? And to seek His definition of success, His definition of prosperity, what He tells us what is good and what is not. Those are the treasures that we store up. So when we get to heaven, you know, think about it. We don't need any physical thing, right? We don't need any, like, you don't need the shoes, the clothes, the vacations, the trips. You know, none of that physical stuff is really meaningful. What is meaningful is to be in relation with God. And then as you sit in relation with God, to be able to sit there and to hear him just applaud you for being the ambassador he calls you to be, to live out the will that he set in your life, and, you know, submitting to that will. Those, to me, are our heavenly treasures that we try to store up, because those things are internal, right? It's a situation where as I sit in heaven and I get to be in relation with God, which in and of itself is more than we deserve. It's one of the greatest things to have. But in that relations, to know that, you know, God is looking at me saying, like, well done, right? You know, well done on the things that you do in the submission of will. You know, it's, you know, we talk about this all the time, is that our natural response to God's grace to us for giving us things we don't even deserve, you know, even though we don't deserve it and we didn't ask for it, but him giving it to us is just our submission of ourselves to his wills, you know?
Yeah.
So storing up those heavenly treasures, you know, a lot of people think, you know, I hear people talk about crowns of gold and things like that. I tend to believe it's not anything physical. It's just the fact that, hey, there's this God that I love and who loves me back, and he's blessed me in my life, and I get to know that I served out his will. right? I help him accomplish his agenda in my life, right? And to know you'll be part of it. It takes me back to the story of Ruth and when, I forget her uncle name, but when he came to her and, you know, and asked her to come in front of the king and she pushed back and he basically said, look, God's glory is going to come. The question is, do you want to be part of it, right? And I think that's where we all are, is that God's glory is going to come. The question is, do we want to partake in it and be part of it? So then as we live in the glory, we can sit to ourselves and look at God and say, hey, God, I gave up my will in effort for your glory, right? Not saying that our efforts caused it, but just he gives us an opportunity to be part of it.
Yeah. Now that. You took me back to thinking about something, but yeah, just to have him part of it, cause like, you know, I'm happy now. I'm a much older man than I was back in 1990s. I'm happy now of understanding how to let go and let God. When I say that, I mean, I'm totally honest about it. I truthfully am at a place where I understand how to let go and let God. What I want, you know, people to understand about tonight is this right here. You know, there are no substitutions for allowing God to control our lives. I mean, there's a certain amount of control we have to have in our lives. But when things go awry, when the plans don't work out, that's when we have to learn how to trust God. That's where the let go, let God comes in, right? And that's what I believe. Because as you're humming along in your day-to-day, I want you to stop. I want you to thank God. I want you to ask God before you make decisions. You know, sometimes you're going to be at the red light, and you might be on your way home from work. And I want you to just think about it. Just say, Lord, am I supposed to turn right, go straight, or turn left? Am I supposed to go straight home right now? And then just listen for God's voice. Now, it may not be an audible sound. It may just be an unction that you get where you just feel an urge, or you just may deep down in your knower, as one of my friends used to say, way deep down in your knower, you know that God wants you to do a thing. And I want you to sometimes start acting up on those things, because I just believe that if we practice letting go and letting God, if we practice following him, then we'll do a better job at not having to store up our treasures here on earth. He'll teach us that the real treasure that we're looking for is not here. And our heavenly treasure, I can assure you that it looks like nothing that you've ever seen here on this earth before. I ain't never been to heaven. I'm going to tell you that now. At least I don't remember ever being in heaven. I just believe that it's going to be something totally different than what we have here right now. And we can't even imagine what heaven is like. And I think we need to practice just letting go, letting God have his way. And that's the big thing. So when your life, when it feels like your life is just out of control, when it feels like your life is run over a cliff, I assure you that's a point in your life where you got to grab hold of yourself. You got to calm down, use your breathing techniques, use your inside voice, and have a talk with Jesus. Have a talk with Jesus. J-Dub, I know we're getting close to the end of our show, but did you have anything else you wanted to share?
No, just what you said. I think it's you know, just living in God's will and being able to celebrate that and enjoy that and really rejoice in that.
Yeah, because I tell you what, I I just have so much to be thankful for. And I was reading Philippians 4 and 19, and it said that, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's what I mean when I say you got to line up your plan for your life with what God has for your life. And if you ain't studying the word, if you ain't praying, and you ain't meditating on the word, and how you going to know what God's plan for your life is? How you going to know? How are we ever going to know? And so I want to leave everybody with that. I want to leave everybody with that. You know, when your life is not working out to plan, what you going to do about it? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to lean on God. We're going to lean on God. And with that being said, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Again, send me your emails, your text messages, however you want to get in contact with me. And just like we always do about this time, I just want to say, find something you love, chase it, embrace it, and that is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric and Jason saying thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week. God bless you. God keep you. Sister Kimmy.
I talk, check the way I walk, been set free cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ way, yeah, my Christ way, yeah. This my Christ way, okay. My Christ way, yeah, this my Christ way, yeah. My Christ way, yeah, this my Christ way. My Christ way, yeah, yeah, I'm from the streets, south of the arch, man, where I used to drink, roll up, and used to spark, man. Now I got my head straight, shining like a million bucks. Christ elevated me, going past the ceiling, bruh, St. Louis 50. God Squad t-shirt, homie, how you doing? Pleased to meet you, this my rebirth. Addicted to the word, it's pumping through my artery. Faith on the meal, the swag is a part of me. Now my glow bright, soul's been redeemed, covered in the blood, no shower cause I'm clean. Done playing games, rid of the Xbox, almost flatline. But Christ made my chest pop, walked on the edge. The devil made me wobble, Jesus took the wheel. Fast forward full throttle, still in the hood, got that street slang. Mixed with the spirit, it's a G thing. Keep high talk, check the way I walk, been set free cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ way, yeah. My Christ way, yeah. This my Christ way, okay.
Yeah.
My Christ way, yeah.
God Squad,
this my Christ way, yeah. My Christ way, yeah. This my Christ way,
Cartier.
My Christ way, yeah.
Look. My whole style come from Christ,
yeah.
So own it? No sir, you can't put a price. Like white on rice, I got his blood on me. To be honest, I just care about my guy, homie. And if I'm only living for him, it don't really even matter what y'all think of me.
Nah.
Opinions, you can let them be. I'm killing it, I let them see. The old me is gone. Keep the demons out my heart, then Christ found a home.
Yeah.
No more Patron or nitrous. I might just give God a praise with my best. He's highest. Glory in here.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Put my trust in the Lord. I ain't having no fear. No, I don't have a care. Besides pleasing my Father. Tell any hater you see, man, don't even bother, cause Jesus is my medicine. I ain't never hurting, catching waves of his glory, man, I'm Christ swag surfing.
Yeah. I talk, check the way I walk, been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ way, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ way,
okay.
My Christ way, yeah. This my Christ way,
yeah.
My Christ way, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ way.
God Squad.
My Christ way, yeah.
Okay, you get it from my father.
Uh-huh.
Head to toe swinging on that word, that's the motto.
Yeah.
Used to be a up or down flipper like the Lido.
Uh-huh.
Roll with Big Frank and ST, old squad though. Now I'm aiming at the world with that blessed scope.
Yeah.
Hard repetition, stay flexing, holy rollers know.
When you see that light shine, this ain't baby doe. He ain't got a VVS on him, what a freak show. No, but I'm close with my father though. I ain't Leroy, but the boy got a lot of glow. Took a whole lot of land out to kill his ego. Missing my whole purpose like Shaq with them free throws. If you rapping vain, can't edify the people. Swag on 100, gaining speed, adios flow. And I'm top flow, reaching for his glory. You think I got some swag, Christ the one that poured it on me.
Check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, okay. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah.